We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for our big clip of the day. That is brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Before we get to our big clip of the day, Randy, we've got, I know you're a big boxing guy. We've got a boxing event happening in town. It's going on this later on this afternoon, 6 o'clock this evening, I guess. It's centering around the fight that is happening here at State Farm Arena on Saturday. You've got four-time world champion Tank Davis setting his sights on a third weight class title when he faces undefeated WBA super lightweight champion Mario El Azteca Berrios. That's a Showtime pay-per-view fight. It is happening right here in Atlanta Saturday night in the State Farm Arena that is presented by Premier Boxing Champions. But here's what's going on. This is cool today. The Davis and Berrios fight today, 6 o'clock, College Football Hall of Fame, downtown Atlanta. You know where it is. You can go watch the fighters workout. You'll get a chance to meet all the pay-per-view fighters, see them work out. This is a totally free event. It's open to the public. Anybody can go. Won't cost you a dime. 6 o'clock. It's the College Football Hall of Fame here in downtown Atlanta. Randy, this is really cool. It's going to be a great event to be able to take your kids to as well. Again, a chance to see these guys up close and personal. Great event.
It's going to be a great fight, man. It's a big-time fight here. Tank Davis is he's a hell of a champion, and now he's going up in weight, and he's fighting another great champion. So, yeah, but yeah, make sure you guys go out there, get to see these boxers train. It's a lot different than what you see in some of your boxing classes. And then you get to actually go see these professionals who are doing their thing and everything. So make sure you take the kiddies down there to check it out.
Don't forget, we got another code word coming up. Chance for you to win a little bit of money. We'll get to that here in about 9-10 minutes or so. Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. He joins us in our next segment. We'll talk more about the Hawks and the Bucks in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals that you can hear right here tonight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, the Atlanta United, they are in action. They are in New York tonight to take on NYFC. You can catch that game over on Star 94. So a busy day in sports. With all that being said, Randy, let's get to it. It's time for our big clip of the day.
Well, I just think, you know, a lot of people are getting a chance to see him in the playoffs. But I think, you know, working with him this year, I've seen this guy. He's a very confident kid. He has a great deal of talent, you know, far as on the offensive end of the floor. His ability to stretch the defense, make shots from deep, you know, make plays inside the three-point line, as well as create opportunities for his teammates, and he's fearless, just shows that he's one of these special players.
That is Hawks head coach Nate McMillan. Randy, the television ratings for these NBA playoffs have been really, really good. They're up nearly 40% from last year. That's going to make the folks in the NBA offices really, really happy. It's making the TV folks really, really happy. But I think it ought to make Trae Young really happy, too. This has been a boon for him and an opportunity for that guy just from a, you know, from a marketing standpoint. I think Trae Young, at some point in time, I would expect here in this offseason – you're going to start seeing some commercials pop up with Trae Young, or maybe a few more billboards around town with Trae Young on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's you know, he is we knew what Trae was, but now, you know, and a lot of the national people, I don't want to make it seem like Trae was a nobody. Nobody knew about him. That's the same thing I say when people talk about Dame Lillard's most underrated player. Like, no, he's not. Everybody knows who the hell he is. But, yeah, you're going to see Trae with some more type things. I don't know what's going to happen with the Olympic team, Chris. I just saw Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry both backed out. So will he maybe get at one of those spots? But yeah, I mean, it's always funny when people talk. Don't nobody want to see the playoffs because LeBron and Steph. And I mean, obviously, you see what these ratings are doing. And I'm never one of them people that judge ratings or whatever. But I mean, this young man has really elevated his star, and I love it. And because the thing about it is, he ain't scared of the moment. We talk about this all the time. There's no fear in that dude. That dude is all about being a superstar, all about winning, and all about being a superstar, man. I can't wait to see him take this next level. And, you know, his shoe dropped. I like him. You know, I like the new shoe, that this new signature shoe dropped. And he looked pretty sweet, man. But, I mean, good things are going to come on for Trae. But his biggest thing right now is that this ain't enough for him. And I don't know Trae, but I can honestly just tell by just listening to him, interviewing him, all these things, that Trae ain't done yet. This ain't good enough for him. And it should be good enough for him. And that's why I keep saying, people say the Hawks ain't got nothing to lose. Yeah, they do. They got an opportunity. They lose the opportunity to play for a championship. So, yeah, they do have something to lose.
It's kind of like what we said earlier, Randy. How often in the NBA playoffs do you find yourself in a situation where there's not that juggernaut, right? There's not that team that you look at and you go, wow, that's, you know, there's not a Golden State. There's not, the Cleveland Cavaliers some years back or the Miami Heat. Some of those teams that you just knew going in it would take a mountainous effort to be able to get past those guys. That's not here in this playoff. The door is open and an opportunity for the Hawks to go running through it, and they've certainly taken advantage of it so far. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals is tonight. This is a young Hawks team playing on the road in the playoffs. Here's Giannis on his thoughts on that playoff experience that the Bucks have and the inexperience the Hawks have.
Obviously, it's going to help us a little bit that we've been here before, but at the end of the day, we're still playing basketball, you know, and like the previous series, we were going against KD, James Harden, Kyrie. They've been champions, been there before, and we were able to advance, you know. So you never know how it's going to end up, you know, working out. So at the end of the day, I said it in the past, like, I try not as much to focus in the past and what happened. I learned from it and I just move on. This is a totally different series, different scenario, different players, different time. And it's going to be hard.
This group of Hawks, Randy, they have been unfazed so far in these playoffs. I mean, I keep going back to the fact this team went on the road and closed out the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. They went on the road in a game 7 and closed out the Sixers. I mean, this team doesn't – they don't know they're not supposed to win these kind of games yet.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about it is that they expect it. And I think that's one of the biggest thing when you look at this Hawks team is they're expecting to win. They're not up here – like, they're not surprised that they beat Philadelphia. A lot of people are. They're not surprised. And that's the great thing when you talk about how you want your team to – the mindset of your team. The Hawks ain't going to shock nobody. The Hawks are going to beat the Bucks. They won't be shocked if they win this series and get a chance to play for a championship. Other people will be, and that's the mindset that they have to have. And that's that I ain't awed by nothing moment. I ain't awed by we going up to Milwaukee. And they haven't lost a home game yet in this postseason. So what? You know, and they're not worried about that. And that bodes well for them tonight and in this series. And that's what makes them so dangerous because they expect to win. They're not going to be surprised by winning, and that is what they should. That's the mindset they should have. I think that's been one of the best things I've seen from this team in the playoffs. They expect to win. They expect to be here, Chris, and that's such a good thing.
Braves have won back-to-back games now. Solid pitching, including last night from Charlie Morton. He picks up career win number 100 as the Braves will go for the series win against the New York Mets later on tonight. Braves have won 2 straight against the Mets. Both have been by shutout. And the National League East is now, the lead for the Mets is down to just 4. You've got the Braves, the Phillies, and the Nationals all at 4 games back. And this is Braves pitcher Charlie Morton on the urgency for this team over the next 2 weeks.
from an organizational strategy going forward, like into the break and then into the end of July, I mean, certainly if we can't close the gap or maintain, you know, a closeness in the standings, then certainly, like, you know, it's just a reality of it. Like, Alex is going to have some tough decisions to make, you know, if we can't stay close.
That's Braves pitcher Charlie Morton. And Randy, you take a look at this Braves schedule now. So they finish up with the Mets today. Mm-hmm. Then they head to Cincinnati for four games, come home and face three against the Mets. So Cincinnati and then home for the Mets for three, and then the Marlins for three, and then Pittsburgh for three, and then Miami again. Look, you've got games against the Mets here. Yep. So an opportunity now. Counting today, you got four games left against the Mets to be able to pick up some room, to make up some ground in the East. Cincinnati, the Reds are having a good year, a surprising year, if you ask me.
Yeah, they are.
But then you've also got one, two, three, four, seven games against the Marlins and three against the Pittsburgh Pirates. You got to go in and you need to dominate those two series to start July against the Marlins and the Pirates to give yourself a chance and to be in position at the All-Star break.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. These are the games. First of all, you got to close out the Mets tonight. And then, you know, like you said, Cincinnati is playing better than I know I expected. I think of what a lot of people expected. And so now you got to go up there and you got to find a way to get at least three of those. And so you can get on that way right there. But, yeah, they got a lot of NL East games coming up. They got some payback against the damn Pirates coming up, too. But I mean, that's a ways away. They just got to be able to get out of here with the win tonight and get you three or four. Don't split in Cincinnati. Get you three or four at least. Well, you know my motto, win them all, but at least three or four. But they got to start tonight. Kyle Wright's on the mound, the young pitcher. It was called up because Max Fried had blisters, and so he's on the 10-day IL. And so, young fella, go give us five strong, man. Give us five strong. And somebody else back get hot other than Ronald Acuna.
It's time for you to get hot, win a little money. Randy's got a code word for you.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
paper. Come get y'all some of this paper. I'm sorry, paper. P-A-P-E-R. You have until 12:59 to text paper to 72881, 72881. Message and data rates apply. Please do not text and drive. Again, the 12 o'clock code word, national signing bonus code word is paper.
Randy, let's stick with the Braves. Let's hear from Dansby Swanson. I think he's kind of saying what a lot of us have been saying about the Braves so far this season. Here's Dansby.
It's no secret that for the first couple of months, we weren't really playing our best. We weren't really playing consistently clean baseball, and I felt like you started to kind of see that switch change a little bit.
Do you feel it? Do you think the switch has been flipped with this team? I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet. They won six out of their last 10. They won two in a row. They're hitting the ball a little bit better now. And certainly, you know, the last two nights, it's hard to complain about what they've got pitching at least the last two games. But do you feel the switch has been flipped for a team? No, I don't either.
I'm not that
confident yet.
Exactly. I mean, they have to say whatever they need to say to convince themselves. Your play will show me. I don't know. I mean, they've been really good these last two games. Like you said, two back-to-back shutouts and all those things. But, yeah, I need to see it, man. I need to see it. I need them to win this game tonight. I know that. We'll worry about everything else down the road. I need them to win this game tonight. That's the most important thing to me right now.
Crazy night in the MLB last night with all of the sticky substance checks going on and guys dropping their pants and taking off their belts and you had a little exchange between Max Scherzer and Joe Girardi in the Phillies National Series. Here's the way it sounds. This is Max Scherzer now being checked for a substance for the third time last night.
Max Scherzer, as the inning ended, gazing over toward the Phillies dugout. Didn't say anything, just looked. And then Joe Girardi came up and said, come on over. Firing everybody up, and he was ejected from the ball game. That's the ejection from Tim Timmons. 40th ejection for Joe. Scherzer mad, showing his hands.
Well,
I think if you're Mad Max, you should be careful. Though.
Yeah, you know.
Should be careful.
Well, here's the thing. Joe got upset, and you get it. He's staring him down in the dugout.
Right.
Joe, whatever, dude. Whatever, man. They get on my nerves, them damn daggone fake baseball fights, man. Ain't nobody studying him. Joe Girardi wasn't going to do nothing, but he was being a dork by doing the whole checking thing. But, I mean, that's going to be something that you're going to see more and more pitchers upset about because of the fact is that they all make – and I think it's crap, too. I think it's crap that they did it right now. And they couldn't wait till next season. But we know why they did it, and we know it's all about the money and the historically bad batting averages and all this other crap is why they're doing this.
Well, here's the thing. That situation last night is one, if the umpires have, and according to Major League Baseball, they do, it's up to them. They can determine whether during the middle of an inning if they want to search a player or not. You've just patted the guy down the inning before.
Right.
So why do you need to stop play? That game last night between the Nationals and Phillies took nearly 4 hours to play.
You
don't need to do that. You tell Girardi, hey, look, we've already patted this guy down twice already. We haven't found anything. You worry about managing your team. I'm going to go back over here and call balls and strikes.
Yeah, I mean, but and you know who's going to do it? Don Mattingly, the next guy to do it. I mean, it's just something that that these players have got to get adjusted to, especially these pitchers, because they're cut. And the suntan lotion and all that licking of the fingers and all the stuff that has been going on because the ERA and the that.
Steve Ashburner, he is the senior writer for NBA.com. He joins us next. We'll preview Hawks, Bucks, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. That's happening tonight right here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week on the Midday Show alongside Randy McMichael. Keeping you company,
Chris,
on this
big
tonight?
Wednesday.
I know.
8:30?
I know.
Man. Woo. I'm going to make it through it rough. I'm going to walk.
I'm going to power through.
Yeah, man.
I got to. By the way, don't forget tonight after the game, you head over to the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. Nick Cale and I. We'll give you some instant reaction, we'll spend a few minutes with you breaking down Game 1 of these Eastern Conference Finals between the Hawks and the Bucks. Steve Ashburner. Steve is going to join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Steve, senior writer for NBA.com, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Steve, we've been asking the question this morning about what needs to go right for the Hawks in this series in order for them to win. So, give me your thoughts. What needs to go right for the Hawks to win this series against Milwaukee?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I guess Trae Young has to hit floaters with the reliability and deadliness of Steph Curry hitting 30-footers. I think that Giannis Antetokounmpo needs to keep his shooting range anywhere from 17 feet out, except from the free throw line when he can shoot those and help Atlanta. I think it's going to take some extremes, for Atlanta to upset Milwaukee. But it's not undoable. I did a story earlier this week about playoff experience, and Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat was asked about the value of that. And one thing he said about young players or young teams is sometimes they don't know what they don't know, and that can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Atlanta's sort of new to this situation could wind up helping them. They haven't played self-consciously. They haven't been intimidated. I see no reason. You know, they talk about playing with house money now. I don't see any reason that they can't just sort of blithely go forward and, you know, have as good a chance in these games as they've had in the first two rounds.
Steve, how do you see these matchups going? Because it seems like there's going to be a lot of cross matchup, especially we don't know the status of Bogey yet as far as his knee is, if it's still sore, if he's going to be able to go. So how do you see the matchup working out in favor for Atlanta?
Well, I'm not sure how they're going to match up quite either. You know, Drew Holiday is coming off another disappointing series, but primarily offensively. So, you know, if he can stay with Trae Young while playing defense, I mean, that's a big if, but he is an all-defensive player. First team this year again, and, you know, that to me is a better option than the 76ers had against Trae Young. I don't know who Atlanta is going to assign to Giannis. If it's Capella to start, you know, that's fine. But Giannis, I think, is, you know, he's longer than Capella and certainly than Collins. And, you know, if he plays as aggressively in the paint as he played, you know, late in that Brooklyn series, that's going to be a problem because if Atlanta gets into foul trouble, I know they've got, you know, some backup options, but still, then you're losing those guys at both ends. So, you know, it's – and Middleton, I don't think, is going to be shy against any of the Hawks' wings. You know, Hunter's out. That would have helped Atlanta a lot against a guy like Middleton. But you know, Bogdanovich is not 100%, at least not at this moment. So, no, I think there's a gap there. If both teams play as well as they can, then I think Milwaukee advances, and it's not all that close.
Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, you just kind of ran through some of the health issues that the Hawks are having to deal with. What about this Milwaukee team? What's the health status of the Bucks coming into Game 1?
Well, they seem to be generally good. They don't have a guy who started for them most of the season, Dante DiVincenzo. And you know, he's not a household name. He does a lot of little things. He brings energy. He's a great motor for that team. He's jumper cable sometimes for some of the more established, bigger-name players in that lineup. He's also an underrated rebounder, and he's a pest defensively. So he's missed. He's missed already. What it did allow was for Budenholzer to put P.J. Tucker into the starting lineup rather than bring him off the bench, you know, because he was sort of loyally adhering to his the starting lineup that he had established before they got Tucker. But Tucker in there now, you know, he was invaluable in terms of just taking on Kevin Durant night after night in that series. And even when he seemingly got burned, he made things difficult and maybe made it a little tougher for Durant to seek out his teammates on most nights. You know, the game 5 was ridiculous. But, you know, so, but yeah, otherwise I think they're largely healthy. I don't think there's any particular injury that is nagging at Milwaukee other than the fact that nobody's 100% this time of year.
Steve, how do you think they defend Trae? Do you think it is just putting Drew Holiday one-on-one? Do they blitz him? Do they trap him? How do you think that Coach Bud and the Bucks will go against Trae Young?
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing things pretty straight up. For all the talk we heard during the regular season that they're working on their switching ability and comfortability with it, they pretty much have played straight up. I think when you start to bring help on Trae Young, you know, that opens up passing lanes, that opens up shooters. Your defense starts to, you know, sort of have a domino effect and then you have problems somewhere else. In fact, like when PJ Tucker talked about the job of handling Durant, how about just, you know, dealing with Durant one-on-one, he was fine even when he got scored on, as long as teammates didn't try to do too much helping and then leave their men, and because now you're springing leaks in other places. So I think it's going to be largely Jrue Holiday and then relying somehow on Brook Lopez. How far out does he come? They play that drop coverage defensively, and Young's floaters, you know, can bedevil that. And if you give up those kind of baskets, you know, 2-3 in a short amount of time, I think they can drive you nuts. It's almost like the old drip, drip, drip water torture, where it's like, you know, no, not again, you know. And it's just, somebody's nailing three-pointers, you throw up your hands and say, well, that's, you know, it's not our night, it's his night, whatever it is. But when it's a seemingly soft shot like that, but he has the clearance to make it, you know, that can get in Milwaukee's heads, I think.
Steve Ashburner, he's a senior writer for NBA.com. You can find him on Twitter, at AshNBA, A-S-C-H-N-B-A. You can find him there. He's with us here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steve, we've talked a lot here about just kind of the attention that not just the Hawks have gotten through this playoff run, but the attention that Trae Young has gotten nationally. Has there been anybody that has benefited more in these playoffs in terms of a raising of the profile than Trae Young?
Yeah, I would look at Trae Young sort of on equal footing with Devin Booker in terms of, you know, national stage. I mean, Booker for Phoenix, he's been, you know, a terrific player, but I think he's made a major step, and being able to play at this time of year, which is not really normally this time of year, but at least at this late stage in the postseason, you do expose yourself to new eyeballs. People look at you with, you know, with a new assessment. And so I think Trae Young has done that. I think it's to the NBA's benefit. You know, people seem to get a little hung up on the traditional big names and you know, right, who's not here. And even what that means for ratings. I mean, the ratings thing to me is silly. I mean, unless you're in the boardroom between the networks and the league honchos, you know, what do you care if the guy down the block is watching the same game as you? If you're interested in it and you think it's good, yeah, watch it. I think there's actually a positive to, you know, having some of these young new faces on this stage, and they're going to carry this league forward when LeBron is done, you know, when Harden is hurt and done, you know, when Kyrie Irving goes off to do whatever he's going to do. I mean, just some of those stars, established stars, you're going to need replacements. You don't want to end up the way this league was after Michael Jordan, where it took them, you know, I don't know, better part of a decade to find reasonable replacements. I mean, you know, LeBron, I'd say several years into his career, which came, you know, well after Jordan was done with the Bulls, and even after that version of Jordan we got with Washington.
Steve Ashburner, finishing up here with Steve, real quick. What do you see different about Bud in Milwaukee versus the Bud that was here in Atlanta? Is there anything different about what Budenholzer's doing now?
You know, I got to be honest. I didn't pay as close attention to him in Atlanta because I just thought that one team where they sent everybody to the All-Star game. I mean, it was so well knitted as a group, with, you know, just what you needed at various spots. I just thought, well, he's just making sure things don't mess up. They don't go off the rails. I don't know. I got to think that he's under more pressure now than he was there. I mean, it's his second go around. He's been, you know, this is his second time with Milwaukee to the conference finals. He's had some very well publicized limitations or failings. People feel that he did not adjust enough. You know, you get only so many at bats and only so many strikes per at bat. And I just think that he's, you know, he's used up a lot of the, you know, goodwill in a sense, or just how good is he? I mean, he's got Coach of the Year trophies, but when you get into a playoff series and you either adjust properly or you don't, I think had they gotten eliminated against Brooklyn, we might be speculating on where Mike Budenholzer would end up if with one of those open jobs. I don't know that it's a guarantee that Milwaukee won't be at it as one of those open jobs, depending on what happens in this series.
Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Steve, appreciate the time, my friend, as always. Great to
catch
up.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Enjoy the series.
Steve Ashburner, check him out on Twitter, at ASCH. NBA. You can find him on Twitter there. We'll come back. Brian Gebhardt's got a little big deal, small deal, or no deal put together. We'll do that as we wrap up the noon hour here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.